Grace and peace. You know, last night we were blessed to have dinner and a celebration of my brother's birthday. And one of my nieces asked me, she says, "Oh, I understand you're going to be speaking tomorrow." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, I got a good topic for you." I said, "Well, we don't do topics." She said, "You don't do topics?" I said, "No." She says, "Well, what do you all preach?" I said, "Well, every Sunday we preach the same thing, Jesus." I said, "And that keeps us pretty busy." Yeah, we look into the mystery of the grace of God, and we talk about Jesus. So everybody's got the same topic here. Every week, week in, week out, it's not five easy steps on how to pay your bills or how to get a man. It's about Jesus. Yeah. I mean, the bookstores, if you think about it, they have enough writings on all of that, don't they? And the TV is full of it, isn't it? Five easy steps and how to succeed in this and how to do this and, you know, so you got a lot of that. All the magazines, every cover on the magazine you look at in the market has a number of five or six or nine or something, because that's catchy, because people are looking for solutions. But we just pretty much go by the same thing here at the Grace Gospel Church. If you please bow your head, we'll open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity of meeting and gathering around your word. We thank you, Lord, for blessing my mother and my aunt and papa and my sister and my brother from Washington to be here with us this morning. And, of course, my niece Angela, who travels back and forth constantly, and you keep her safe. Father, we're asking that as we minister the word, that you open up their ears, that they have hearing ears to hear and seeing eyes to see the mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God, that they realize, Lord, that you are, it's all about you and not about us. We ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And again, it's going to be about Jesus. Everything at the Grace Gospel Church is documented and in writing. All of our sermons, all of our teachings are in writing. And the message that we're going to have today is coming from the Grace Covenants Eternal Security and Salvation. Again, documented by our pastor that's in writing. It's, oh, I don't know, maybe 25, 26 pages. And I'm just going to go over a little bit of from it for you to this morning. Webster Dictionary describes salvation as the act of saving from destruction or catastrophic events. Example, the saving of the soul from sin or its consequences. The condition of being saved. You know, years ago, we've always had burglar alarms. We live in that kind of day where we have to have burglar alarms. And my husband had a friend who was selling alarms. And Wayne remembers this. And we were sitting down with this gentleman about the alarm system. And we traditionally had Brinks, you know, and I felt kind of safe with them. And so this man had this package set up for us, and it had one pad, you know, one master pad. And traditionally, we've had three. We had one by the garage, one by our bedroom door, you know, and this one had one. So traditionally, we had all these motion detectors, and this system had two. So I'm sitting here going over this, and the salesman was enthusiastic, and he said, you know, the company was called Safe and Secure. So after he gave his presentation, I said, "Well, why is it I don't feel too safe or secure? You know, I'm going from three pads to one. From four motions to two." I said, "Something's wrong with this picture." Do you know, if you don't have the right attitude about salvation and about your salvation, you won't feel safe and secure either. Because being saved means being secure. Being saved means being safe. And we're safe not only from the destruction to come, but we're safe every day as we walk along this path. So being saved means being safe. And, of course, today is July the 4th. That we're celebrating the independence of our country, and we appreciate that. But when we talk about salvation, our salvation's not in our country, is it? 911 proved that, didn't it? Yeah. Before 911, would you have ever thought that something would happen here on our shores? Absolutely not. We were all kind of shaken. None of us felt secure, did we? And as we go about, we'll have to realize that our only safety and our only security is in Christ. That's it. In Christ are we safe and we're secure. And if you don't feel that you are safe and secure
for a purpose. If you don't feel you're safe and secure forever, that's another problem. You know, in times past, we used to think we could lose our salvation. We used to think we could backslide, which is an Old Testament term. It's not found in the New Testament. So when people say, you know, so-and-so died and they were backslidden. Whoa, backslidden. That's Old Testament. You don't find that anywhere in our gospel. Because our gospel teaches and preaches that we're saved by faith, by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you'd be so kind to turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. And I know you might say, Sister Karen, you always start in Ephesians. Well, I kind of like Ephesians. It says so many things that speaks to my heart. And it enables me to encourage you. And I think that's important. So when we think about Ephesians, we think about, and notice, I never go to the fourth and fifth. All that stuff about submitting to your husband. Although, we can submit now. But if you go to 522, see 523 says, submit ye wives to your husband. But 22 says, submitting ye one to another. See, I like to start with that one. Yeah, I like to start. We both gonna submit. See, that's what I like. I like that about God. You know, he kind of keeps it balanced. We're the ones that want to beat the ladies down. Yeah, make the ladies. You all have seen, we live in Detroit, we have the largest community of Arabs outside of the Middle East. Outside of the Middle East, there are more Arab Americans and Arab-born citizens anywhere in the world outside the Middle East, outside of Mecca and all over there. They're right here condensed in our area. And how many times you ride in Dearborn and you see the man in the front, and where's the lady sitting? She's in the back seat with this big cloth veil thing all over her. It might be 90 degrees and she's covered from head to toe. You can just see her eyes barely and her little mouth. You know, but thank God we've been liberated from that. Because the gospel of the grace of God teaches a lot of things, and one of the things it teaches is that we are one in Christ. That there's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor free. Neither Jew nor Greek. Nor circumcised or uncircumcised. And when you look into the scriptures, that says a mouthful. We are blessed in America. Not blessed with our wages being the same. But we're blessed in America of having lots of equality for women. I think our wages are up to what, like 70 cents for every dollar a man makes. But we're moving on. You know, we're moving on. We're able to own property and we're able to do a lot of things. Vote. You know, so we do have some equalities based on our Constitution and the contract we have. But if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, I'd like my reader to read that, please, first in the King James, and then we're going to do the interlinear Greek. Uh-huh. 3 to 9.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the third verse. Is
it? Yes, sir.
Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. Accordingly, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself.
You know, look at verse 9. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Saints, do you know it's all about him? It is all about him. Everybody say all about him. And I know you all might say, you say that all the time. I say it all the time because it is true. All of our being, everything that is about us is all about him. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about his will. It's about his testimony. It's about his purpose. All is about him. And the fact that we are saved, that's all about him. What does it mean to be saved? It means to be safe. It means to be secure. It means to be separated. And all of those things are all about him. Could I get that in the Greek, please? And let me tell you this, the reason we do Greek, people say, why do you all use the Greek New Testament? It gives you the clarity that you don't usually get from just the King James. You know, the King James, some of the writing there is not as clear and concise because some of it was so magnificent they lost their nerve to even print it. They said, oh my God, it couldn't be all of that, but it is all of that. So if you could read the Greek, I'd appreciate it.
First, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the third verse in the Interlinear Greek translation. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us.
Having, that's past tense. Having blessed us.
Having blessed us with every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ.
Amen.
As he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy, to be us holy and unblemished before him in love.
Now, when were we chosen? Were we chosen when we gave our hand to the preacher? Were we chosen when we recited the sinner's prayer? Were we chosen when we went to the altar for altar call? No, we were chosen and picked out in eternity before the foundation of the world. God had you separated, had you picked, had you selected, had you chosen, had you elected to be part of the body of Christ in eternity before the foundation of the world. Go on.
Predestinating us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of the will of him, to the praise of the glory of the grace of him which he favored us in the one having been loved.
Wow.
In whom we have the redemption through the blood of him, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of the grace of him which he made to abound to us in all wisdom and intelligence.
Wisdom and intelligence. Wow. What is he talking about here? He's saying here that before the foundation of the world was formed, he had you picked and separated. Before the foundation of the world, he had you equipped with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spirit. Now that means that you're going to get a new car. I don't know. I'm talking about cars. It's not talking about health. It's not talking about jobs. It's not talking about loved ones. Because all those things are temporary, aren't they? It's talking about the eternal things. The things that truly matter. The important things are the things that have to do with Christ and our relationship with him. It's talking about his favor. You hear a lot of people talk about favor. Got books about favor. But when we talk about favor, we're talking about the favor that was established in the original decree of God in eternity before anything was made. What position you are in right now is based on what God had for you in eternity before the foundation of the world. The fact that you've been able to live where you live, to drive what you drive, to eat what you eat, to marry who you married, have children. All these things were established in eternity before the foundation of the world. No accidents or coincidences with us. No accidents. It just didn't happen. It happened under the decrees of God. And the fact that God predestined these things to happen. His grace. What is grace? Turn to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and read that, please. And we're going to look at what the grace of God is and what we get from the grace of God. Ephesians 2 and 8, for those of you that have Bibles and can follow along.
Ephesians chapter 2, King James?
Yes, please.
Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with the 8th verse. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Okay, it's the gift of God, not of works. We are saved. We have favor by grace. We have redemption through his blood by grace. We have forgiveness. You know, when I used to pray, I used to pray before I understood the doctrine of the grace of God. I used to say, well, Lord, forgive me for my sins of omission, sins of commission, those that I don't know about, those that I'm going to do in the future. Forgive me for all of them. And did I leave anything out that could cause me to lose my salvation? Anybody ever been there? Thought you were saved one day and lost the next? Yeah. So what could you do to make penance for God so that you could make it? If I could just make it in that day, if I could just be saved. But do we have to pray like that? No. Because all of it, His grace, His love, His forgiveness, His redemption, His favor, all those things are locked in eternity through the decree of God that we would be part of the body of Christ, that He selected us, that He called us out, that He adopted us. The Bible says we were children of darkness, and He has called us out to be among the children of light. You know, I'd go to meetings and people would be saying, you know, we are all children of God. And you know me. I say, oh, no, we're not. They say, oh, don't you believe we're all children of God? I said, no. We're not all children of God. We are all fellow creatures of the same Creator, but we're not all children of God. Yeah. Now, some people are saved, some people are lost. Now, why is that? Is it because some people are better than others? No. Is it because some people sin less than others? No, we all sin. Did we just get to read singing the song, Only a Sinner? The only difference between a saved person and a lost person is that the lost person is going to be separated from God. They get what they deserve. The saved person maintains a relationship with God, and they don't get what they deserve. We all deserve the same thing. Yeah, nobody's better than the other. Yeah. But the difference is, we, the body of Christ, we have the grace of God covering us, and we don't get what we deserve. We are participants and recipients of the grace of God. And that's not about us. It is all about Him. His love, His forgiveness, His redemption, His favor, all of that is we are partakers of the free gift, not of works, not based on what we do, because, again, we all deserve the worst. We all deserve separation and death, but we don't receive it because of the grace of God. The fact that when were these things imparted? We were predestined in eternity. Before the foundation of the world, He had us picked out for these things. And that's really, really a big deal. The fact that before you were born, in the decree of God, when the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, He had you in His mind. You were that important to Him. And that's really something that is great. You know, we think about greatness, and most of us think about material things. Or we think about world events, and we think about, like, for instance, what's going on in the Gulf right now? We got that catastrophe with the oil, right? We shouldn't be all upset and been out of shape. Why? Because in the last days, it talks about the pollution of the earth. It talks about a third of the sun being blocked out. It talks about a third of the ocean being dead. It talks about a third of the men dying. It talks about all these things. So that's kind of like a blip and a little precursor, that thing going down there in the Gulf. And eventually they're going to probably plug it up. They said that they got another, by the end of the month, it's probably going to be plugged. And they got this big super-duper tanker that is 10 stories high and the size of 3 football fields that's going to suck out all of that oil and filter. Said it can do 21 million gallons a day can filter out. So they're going to catch up with that thing, and all the shrimp ain't going to be gone. See, I like shrimp. Yeah. All of it ain't going to be gone. Some of it's going to be left. But do we have to spend all of our thought life worrying about those things? No. Because you know what? God is in control. Even when it looks like it's out of control, God is in control. And we have that confidence that we are saved, which means we are safe, which means we are secure. So we can look around at these things, but we're not to be overcome by these things, realizing that God's got it. Some people think He's on vacation, but He ain't. He knows exactly what's going on, and He knows what's going on with you in your life. He knows where you are and what's happening with you, and you're important to him. Let's look at Romans chapter 9, because we're talking about salvation. And when you talk about salvation, if you have not got salvation together, you're not going to have nothing together. Because everything starts and finishes with our salvation. You've got to have a firm handle on the fact that you were saved in eternity before the foundation of the world. That you're saved, not of works, lest any man can boast. Romans 9, 11 to 13, it's talking about election.
Romans chapter 9, beginning with the 11th verse. For not yet being born, nor practicing anything good or bad, in order that, according to choice, purpose of God might remain. Not of works, but of the one calling, it was said to her, the greater will serve the lesser. Even as it has been written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Whoa. Now, he said he loved Jacob and hated Esau. And this was before they were born. He loved one, hated the other. Nobody had sinned, had they? Was there a reason that he loved one over the other? No. It's all according to his good pleasure and his purposes. Do we understand the purposes of God always? Absolutely not. Why was Jacob chosen and Esau rejected? Matter of fact, if you look at it even further, the traditions of the Israelites at that time was that the elder son got all the inheritance. The elder son had the prime selection. The elder son had all the eggs put in his basket. And here we have God saying, Jacob I love, which is the younger. Esau have I rejected, which is the older. So he's selecting the younger over the older. And had anybody sinned? No, it's about election. He selected you over someone else. And is it about you? Absolutely not. It's about him and his purposes. It's about what he has for you to do special for his glory. It's about what he has for you that he's purposed for you in eternity before the foundation of the world that we don't know nothing about. We don't know why we were picked and why someone else was not. It's all about him and his will. See, there's no lots of wills in God. You hear people say, well, you know, what about God's perfect will and permissive will and past will and few? It's only one will. And that will was established in eternity in the original decree of God. See, God is not making daily decisions. We have a hard time with that. We think that if we do something wrong, God didn't change his mind. And what he had for us, he's withholding us because he's mad at us. Because he got a list that he's writing on. Yeah, just like Santa Claus. Y'all know, you know, he's making a list and checking it twice. You know, we think God like that. Yeah, we do. We think he got a list. And if you do something wrong, he's going to punish you. He's going to get you. And that's not the way it is. His grace is in spite of you. It's all about him. It's all about his purpose. It's all about his testimony. He ain't got a list taking it twice. Don't send a thunderbolt out. Wham! Get ya! Caught ya! Yeah. No. That's not how this thing goes. The decree of God was done. One decree. In eternity, before the foundation of the world, God is not up in heaven changing it. See, they make God like a schizophrenic, kind of like us. See, I get off on one side of the bed, and I might not feel good, might be different than that. Get up on the other side of the bed tomorrow, and it's going to be a different thing. God is not like that. God is not making daily decisions. What is for you was done in eternity. He's the author and the finisher, the Alpha and the Omega. It's already done. We are complete in Christ. Everybody say complete in Christ. If something's complete, is it complete? Yeah, can you add to it? Can you take away from it? It's done. And And that's what we have as a benefit of being the body of Christ. God's plan for you was the plan that he outlined in eternity before the foundation of the world. And there's no mistakes in it. Now, is it always to our understanding? Absolutely not. Is it always to, would we pick it out like that? No, most of the time not. You know, that's why we get kind of mad, don't we? Sometimes we don't want to pray, do we? Yeah, because see, your prayer should be the prayer of, thy will be done. Because guess what? His will will be done anyway. Yeah, I had a lady tell me, she said, you know, the Holy Ghost can move if the saints put get their mouth out things. I said, oh my God, so you think that God is held up because of our negative confession or because something we say? That's influencing God. But I'm talking about the God of the universe. I'm talking about the God that said, let there be light. And light is still penetrating darkness at the rate of 186,000 miles per second. I'm talking about that God. I'm talking about the God that created the heavens, all of the Milky Way that we're in. All of the universe, the endogenous strain, or whatever they call it. Yeah, and when you start thinking about bigness, all of the, everything that you could think of is contained in him, and it still don't fill him up. Light is still penetrating darkness. He's still expanding. But now he's waiting on you. Does that make sense? He is moved in influence and his program stopped because you don't do something. Does that make sense? Absolutely not. God is, it's all about him and all about his decree in eternity. There is no accident. Wherever you are is where you're supposed to be. Now, do we always see justice in it? Not necessarily, not in our eyes. But do we have full understanding? Absolutely. Paul writes in one of his writings in Corinthians, he says, we look through a glass dimly. We're not going to understand everything. Some things we won't understand until we see Jesus. Yeah. And does he owe us explanation? Absolutely not. That's where walking by faith comes in. That's where trusting and relying on God comes in. That's where holding on to the side of the boat in the storm. Yeah. The waves are tossing you. Everything is topsy-turvy. Don't look like you got no way out. You already know you got a way out. Turn the light off. Because God doesn't slumber sleep. He got it. Yeah. Yeah. Just say, wow, this is exciting. It's an opportunity for me to see the work of God. Yeah, because he already has it. He picked you for a reason. And he didn't pick the other one. Now, am I would have picked me. Not me. I would have picked me. But the fact he did pick you, and he did save you, and he did keep you secure for a reason, for his purpose. Yes. Something that was decreed in eternity. And you may not understand until you see him. But thank God we know that it's already done, that we are complete in Christ. Now, when we start talking about election and salvation, if not of works and not based on what you do, one of the misrepresentations of the sovereign grace gospel is that it's a license to sin. Romans 6 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer is what? No, God forbid. You can't continue. The Bible says, as you know better, you do better. Not in those words, but that's what it means. It means as you know better. The fact that we're followers of Christ. We should be mimickers of Christ. We should be Christ-like in our daily living. Christ-like. You know, we're to be striving after righteousness. Are we righteous? We're apart from his righteousness? No. But we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Because he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be called the righteousness of God in him. So we have that righteousness, but none of our own. Do you know that you are capable of everything that everybody's locked up in the prison from doing? You're capable of the same thing. Yeah. Matter of fact, I see myself kill somebody. I can get mad enough to kill somebody. See, that's why I wouldn't pick me. Because I know I'm a murderer. You think I get that mad? From my daughter. that's my youngest birth daughter. I got a little mad at her one day, and I took it out on the counter, you know, keep from slapping her up. But anyway, that's another story.
Never started. See, I teach for the state of Michigan. I teach parents, and I say, no, zero tolerance for corporal punishment. When in actuality, but we know the Bible teaches a little different. But it says spare the rod, spoil the child. However, the rod was for correcting, and the staff was for guiding. So we're supposed to lead and guide. But and so I know I have to keep that in my mind, otherwise that depravity come out. See, depravity. Everybody say depravity. We are all depraved. We are all capable of everything. That's why we should show grace and mercy to one another. Because we are all capable of, matter of fact, I know I could probably be, Paul said he was the chief sinner, didn't he? He was a murderer, wasn't he? When they killed Stephen, they threw his garments at the feet of Paul, and Paul had given consent to the murder and martyrdom of Stephen in the 8th chapter of Acts. Read it sometime on your own. So Paul committed all these things, murder, and God used him. And you're capable of doing the same, and God can still use you. So that's why it's not about you. It is all about him and his grace and his mercy. Can you read for me, please, reader, Romans chapter 8? You know, we have a problem, 8:35 and 39. We have a problem because most Christians believe that they can be saved today and lost tomorrow. I was teaching a Sunday school class a few years ago, and my nephew was here. And I was teaching from Romans chapter 8. And in that, we were reading this passage that our reader is about to read for us. Can you read it in King James, please? 8:35 to 39.
Romans chapter 8, beginning with the 35th verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. And if you read it in interlinear, it says created things. Any other created thing. And so my nephew, he said nothing. I said absolutely nothing. Once saved, always saved. I was blessed to serve my son-in-law's family during the passing and homegoing of their mother, and I booked a room for our repast at a place called the Upper Room. And this particular minister who was the owner there had all these great certificates and all of these certifications from divinity schools, and he said that he was very proud. He belonged to one of these larger ministries here in the city, and he had studied and became degreed and had a lot of background. And he asked me where we went, and I told him, well, I go to a little small church in Ferndale. I go to Grace Gospel. I said, if I didn't go to Grace Gospel Church, I probably wouldn't go to church at all. They ain't put me out yet. I've been here 12 years. I got put out a lot of places. Yeah. But because, see, why they put me out? They put me out because I disagreed with the preachers. And I told them. I said, that's not what the word says. Well, they said, well, who else did you tell that to? I said, I'm telling you. You know, I didn't go around telling the congregation. I'm not going to tear the church up. But they, some of the stuff wasn't according to the word. So, Pastor, y'all don't put me out. No. I guess I can stay on a little while. But the first thing this preacher asked me, he said, what do you believe about once saved, always saved? And I explained to him, I said, if you were saved in eternity, before the foundation of the world, before you had a chance to sin, as we pointed out in Romans chapter 9, when it talked about Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, this was before they were born. One was selected over the other before anybody had done anything. So it hadn't got anything to do with sin. I said, if you were saved in eternity, elected unto salvation, selected, separated, sanctified, all this in eternity, how can you lose it in time?
What's done in eternity cannot be undone in time. So if you're saved in eternity, if your life is hidden in Christ in eternity, it cannot be altered by what you do. Can't be. It's impossible. So he looked, he said, well, that does make sense. I said, so if you're saying that the devil can influence you to do something apart from the word of God, and that causes you to lose your salvation, then you're saying that the devil, who is a creator, created being, a creature like us, is greater than God. And he looked at me, he said, you know, that makes sense. You know, we give the devil too much credit. Yeah, we want to think, oh, the devil knows what you're thinking. He don't know what you're thinking. The devil has parameters that are established by God. He acts out the purpose and will of God. Yeah, that's all he is. I think if Satan came through the door right now, I'd look and I'd say, oh, it's just you. It's just you. Because what is he going to do outside of what God is permitting him to do? And whose side is God on? Is he on my side or his side? He's on my side. I'm the body of Christ. Yeah, it don't get any better than me. I know that I'm safe and secure in Christ. So whatever happens, it too shall pass. Bad things will happen, but they go past. We're still here to tell it. For his testimony. For his divine will and purpose. It ain't about us. And if you keep in mind, if you have that centered, if you have that, a firm hand on that, you can go through anything. Anything. You can make it out of anything. I just believe God empowers us to always be victorious. Regardless of what's happening, at the end, you got the victory. Because you're in Christ. Yeah, yeah. In Christ, there's victory. In Christ, there's peace. In Christ, there's contentment. And if you consider yourself on the fact that you are in Christ, you are the body of Christ, don't get any better, there's no higher position, then you got it made. You can withstand and overcome anything. Because you're in Christ. And that's real important. And what they were saying in this is nothing can separate. He named everything that he could name. Everything that he could name. He said nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He always causes you to triumph in him. There is victory in Jesus for you, regardless of what's happening or what has happened. There's victory for you. There is a rainbow at the end of the tunnel for you. Yeah. Maybe you might lose your house. Okay. You get another house. Maybe you might lose your husband. Well, I've been almost 35 years. I think I'm going to keep him. Still working on them. I'm trying to get them house trained, but you know, take some longer than others. But yeah, maybe he finds out a young cutie or something and just turn his head. But see, by the time I get Silverstein and Goldstein, I said, better be long because I'll have the money. But anyway, let's go on. Yeah, and see, he told me 35 years ago, cheaper to keep me, it's still cheaper to keep me. See, my niece is an attorney, she'll help me out, won't you? Yeah, I get some good counsel, yeah, it better be love. Yeah, but anyway, nothing is going to separate you from the love of God. Whatever is happened, however bad it looks, you are still the victor. You are, regardless of what, look at Job. And you know, we read about poor Job, don't we? Poor Job lost his children, lost his cattle, lost his land, lost everything. And then his buddies came. Eliphaz and Bildad and so forth. I know we don't use the Old Testament, but this is pretty good. Lost his buddies. His buddies come. And they sat there and looked at him. Now, you know, friends sometimes let you down. Yeah, his friends came and they sat there and looked at him for 7 days and didn't say nothing. He's full of boil, stinking. Yeah, everything falling apart in his world. And finally, when they did start talking, they criticized. They said, yeah, see, you know what? You had everybody fooled, Joe. We all thought you were upright. We all thought God was with you. But now we know that, you know, you're just like the rest of us. You're worse than the rest of us. So then when God finally turned his captivity, and he did turn it, because that whole thing only lasted a short period of time. First thing God said, pray for Bildad and Zophar and that bunch, because they was wrong. They falsely accused God. And then he ended up with 10 times more than what he started. Got a new wife. What, it didn't tell him to curse God and die. Yeah, his ending was better than his beginning. And And I'm saying to you that whatever's going on in your life, it too shall pass. Whatever it is, it shall pass. And God has a purpose. He has a purpose. He has a will. He has a desire and an outcome just for you. Individualized for you. Charlene, so Charlene here, and she's an outstanding teacher, and I know she's sat in on some IEPs, which are individual educational plans. God has an IEP for you. He has an individual life plan for you. Yeah, he's got an individual life plan for you. And it was established in eternity before the foundation of the world. Yeah, his life plan, his decree for you. And you come out a winner because you come out as a member of the body of Christ. And as you leave, realize it doesn't get any better. Doesn't get any better. His favor is from his decree. His grace is from his decree. His redemption is from his decree. Your forgiveness, which is his forgiveness, from his decree. And finally, his abundant love is from his decree. And those things were established in eternity before the foundation of the world just for you. God bless you.
Amen.
Come on, give the Lord another hand.